Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
From Madison, Wisconsin, for a special edition of This Week, the first broadcast interview with President Biden since last week's debate. Earlier this afternoon, we taped the 22-minute interview. There are no cuts, no edits. We have not touched it. At this pivotal moment in the presidential campaign, here it is.
So, first note of credit to ABC, they did, in fact, produce the video live. Or at least they produced it in its entirety. And I think it was also live at the time when it was airing because people from the Hill, Democrats on the Hill, were watching the interview with George Stephanopoulos as it was happening. And then the freakout began because it wasn't the greatest thing ever. It wasn't as bad as the debate, but, you know, it's like saying, well, you remember that time when you were falling down drunk and you couldn't, you know, manage to find your eyeglasses that were on your face? Well, it wasn't as bad as that, you know, but it was not the most reassuring episode.
Let's start with the debate. You and your team have said you had a bad night. But your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
It was a bad episode. No indicator of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and I had a bad night.
What? What instinct in terms of preparing was it that you didn't listen to? That was a new one, so I had different instincts about the preparation. By the way, calling it a bad episode, maybe it's just me, but when you say it's a bad episode, I immediately think of like a mental episode, you know, like, you know, that's not, we're not thinking about like, you know, this Monday's version of Magnum PI as opposed to the whole series. I think of an episode as being like, oh, you know, that's a medical event, right? That's kind of what I think of, but they kept going with this phraseology. So to his credit, George Stephanopoulos pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed for 22 minutes. Really asked a lot of, I thought, very challenging questions.
You know, you say you were exhausted, and I know you've said that before as well, but you came, and you did have a tough month, but you came home from Europe about 11 or 12 days before the debate, spent 6 days in Camp David. Why wasn't that enough rest time, enough recovery time?
Because I was sick. I was feeling terrible. Matter of fact, the docs with me, I asked if they did a COVID test because they were trying to figure out what was wrong. They did a test to see whether or not I had some infection. You know, a virus. I didn't. I just had a really bad cold.
Okay. I've had bad colds. John, you've had a bad cold? You've had the flu? Now, right? I will say this. You can have the flu and then be taking medication and then, you know, it can affect your cognitive function.
Right.
I've never forgotten how to speak. Because I had a bad cold, even when I was taking medication.
Right.
To my knowledge, I've never been unable to marshal thoughts together like this. Or if you can, it just doesn't look like that, right? It's, you know, it's not semi-lucid and then forgetful and then staring off into the wilderness and then looking at your opponent and then... You know, I've seen when people are out of their mind, drugged or sick. It doesn't look like that. So we're still basically completely at a loss for an explanation.
Did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
What? What? Wait. What? One more.
Did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
I'm just going in order. This is not like, I'm not even jumping around here. This is, you don't know? Whether you watch the debate afterwards? I don't know. I watched the debate. I'm trying to remember now. Was it live when it was happening? Yes. I watched it live when it was happening. Did I watch it again? And then I went back and and I had audio recorded, and so I recorded the audio, and I went back and cut the audio. And then a couple of those clips I played on the radio, and I have seen clips on TV. I did not rewatch the debate a second time. I'm fairly confident I watched it the one time. He's not sure if he watched it again? Like, he knows he was in the debate, though, right? But he's not sure whether... What in the... See, what I said is, this was better than the debate. Because he's, you know, forming coherent sentences and all that all the time. But it's, most of the time. But it's not reassuring. I don't know whether I rewatched it.
Well, what I want to get at is, what were you experiencing as you were going through the debate? Did you know how badly it was going?
Yeah, look. The whole way I prepared, nobody's fault, mine. Nobody's fault but mine.
Okay, I mean, I like the Led Zeppelin song too, but he didn't even address the question. Did you know it was happening? Nobody's fault but mine. Well, sir, did you realize that it was going poorly? Yeah, nobody's fault but mine. I mean, like... Nah.
I prepared what I usually would do, sitting down as I did come back.
What does this have to do with anything? You were asked if you knew it was happening while it was happening. Did you realize how bad it was? Why is that important? Because what we're trying to figure out is that the man should be the president right now. Right? I mean, that's the real question. The real question is not should he be the candidate. The real question is should he be the president. Right? In fact, there's actually a very interesting sort of political question about who's asking which question right now. I think Democrats are asking the question, should he be the candidate? I think Republicans, frankly, I mean, if they think it through, and I don't think Republicans have thought this through a lot, is if Republicans think it through, they probably want him to be the candidate, if only because it means you win the election, right? But really, if he shouldn't be the candidate, he shouldn't be the president either, right? Unless you say, well, we're balancing what'll happen over 4 years versus what's happening right now, and should somebody be removed for the first time in history for mental incompetence or not? I mean, yeah, those are fair questions. But he's asked this question, do you know how badly it was going while it was happening? And his answer is some rambling answer about how he prepared.
Foreign leaders or the National Security Council for explicit detail. And I realized about partway through that, you know, I get quoted, the New York Times had me down at 10 points before the debate. 9 now or whatever the hell it is. The fact of the matter is that what I looked at is that he also lied 28 times. I mean, the way the debate ran, not my fault, no one else's fault.
Okay, so putting aside the question of who lied more and how much you lied, sir, okay, so Trump lied a couple dozen times, 25, 28, 29, doesn't matter, a bunch, okay? The question was about whether you knew it was happening. And first he started explaining how he prepared, which has nothing to do with that. And then he's talking about the lies, but the lies wouldn't have been in the preparation because that happened in the debate, not while you were preparing for it. So I just don't even know where he is on the logic chart. I'm trying to, in debate, you flow a debate, which means you write down the points in order, like the outline structure. I don't even know where he is on this. And so, again, he seems more lucid than during the debate, but he is all over the place.
But it seemed like you were having trouble from the first question in, even before he spoke.
Well, I just had a bad night. You've had some bad interviews once in a while. I can't remember any, but I'm sure you do.
I've had plenty.
But nobody said, George, do you think you're mentally fit after that interview? You just asked dumb questions, or maybe you stumbled over your words, although not likely. I don't think George Stephanopoulos, granted, he's quite a bit younger, but that's the point, right? And I think the president keeps answering this, I had a bad night, I had a bad night. Like he got prepped for the interview saying, Just say you had a bad night a lot. Just say that a lot. And now we've gotten to like question number 7, and he keeps asking me, what do I say now? Well, just keep saying you had a bad night.
I guess the question, the problem is here for a lot of Americans watching is you've said, going back to 2020, watch me. Yep. To people who are concerned about your age. And, you know, 50 million Americans watched that debate. It seemed to confirm fears they already had.
Well, look, after that debate, I did 10 major events in a row, including until 2 o'clock in the morning after that debate.
If you were so exhausted, if you were so affected by whatever mystery illness that wasn't COVID and wasn't a cold that made you stumble over your speech and lose track of your thoughts, why were you able to go do 10 events after that? What changed? By the way, that's not an answer. It's a great question because he has repeatedly said, watch me. You want to know whether I'm capable? Watch me. And Stephanopoulos says, we watch, sir. That's why we're asking these questions. And his answer is, well, you see me doing all of these events. Well, that does not answer the question of that event itself, which is the whole... If the president can be fined for 7 hours and then be marginally illiterate and incompetent for an hour as president, that's the problem. During which hour is he on the phone with Netanyahu or London or Moscow or Beijing or his attorney general? You know, that's the question that everybody's asking. How frequent are the episodes?
I did events in North Carolina. I did events in Georgia. I did events like this today. Large crowds, overwhelming response, no slipping. And so I just had a bad night. I don't know why.
That's just not an explanation. And can I say this a little bit differently? If I'm Biden, and I know I have to stretch to imagine, but sometimes you just try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. If I'm Biden, I'm doing this major sit-down interview, and we're now, I mean, we're still only like 5 minutes into this 22 minutes, okay? But we're, you know, he's asked like 7 or 8 questions at this point, all the same question in different forms. A normal person gets angry. I mean, if you keep questioning my competence, I think actually a normal person says, what the hell, bro? You might even say something like, George, I just answered you 6 times. How long are you going to keep asking the same question again and again and again? That's not an unreasonable response. I think, I mean, John, am I wrong about this? Like, if I kept asking you about something where you made a big mistake about it, okay?
Right.
And I just keep digging at it, you know? I mean, at some point, don't you get angry at me?
Yeah. I come across the table.
Right. Yeah. And I know the president didn't, but that also would have been a very normal reaction.
Very.
I mean, some kind of irritation would have been normal, too. Oh, it's so odd.
And how quickly did it come to you that you were having that bad night?
Well, Kane was having a bad night when I realized that even when I was answering a question, even though they turned his mic off, he was still shouting. And I let it distract me. I'm not blaming him on that. But I realized that I just wasn't in control.
Well, that is the problem we're all concerned about, sir. I mean, that is the question that we're all asking.
But I realized that I just wasn't in control.
So, let me skip ahead just a little bit to after the interview was over. And by the way, we still didn't even get to the worst parts. This is just warm up of the, again, 22-minute interview. Because it comes down to weird stuff after that. Jonathan Carl, okay, George Stephanopoulos, after the interview, they had all of their big hitters, and, you know, they did a little, you know, roundtable afterwards. Martha Raddatz, Mary Bruce, Jonathan Carl. Here was Jonathan Carl's comment.
Well, George, look, Biden looked better and certainly more coherent than he looked during the debate. But there was nothing in this interview that is calming nerves of jittery Democrats who fear that Joe Biden is on a trajectory to lose this race, to lose to Donald Trump. In fact, for some of those people, the interview is raising new concerns.
Absolutely. I mean, that was my reaction. I thought he did a lot better than the debate, which was a 1 on a 40 scale, you know, and now he's at a 7. Okay. For him, maybe pretty high, but now they had this big, you know, conference call with Hakeem Jeffries yesterday, the minority leader, and you've got now 9 different Democrats calling for him to step aside, including Rahul Grijalva, who is, he's a loon from Arizona. He's a very long-serving Democrat, but I know him from my time in Arizona. Jerry Nadler, Adam Smith, Angie Craig, Seth Moulton, Mike Quigley, Mark Takano, Joe Morrell and Lloyd Doggett are all calling for him to step aside and let somebody else go. But see, again, I think the big question is, okay, given all of this and given the clear, I mean, Republicans are, I hate to say loving it, but obviously it's, you know, they're getting a lot of pleasure out of this. I don't think we should. I think we should be really concerned, right? But it's a question of what do you want to have happen? Do you want the president to step aside as a candidate? But if he does he stay in office? Does he not resign? Do you want him to resign? Do you want to run against, you know, Kamala and Gavin Newsom? Is that what you're looking for? Is that what you're hoping for? Serious question. Like, what's the goal of observing all of this? 437-1620. We've just never been quite here before. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at Pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
With the continued growing cost of medical insurance, there is one place you can always turn for affordable health care, and that is ProHealth Labs and Medical Care. With 7 locations on the Panhandle, including Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Milton, ProHealth always accepts walk-ins and same-day appointments. ProHealth is self-pay, with office visits starting at $77. Employers, did you know that ProHealth is the largest occupational health and workforce solutions on the Gulf Coast? To find out more or to make an appointment, go to ProHealthFL.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
All right, well, that's on us. We tried to make it work. We'll figure it out here in a minute.
Holy Frank!
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Welcome back, David. Good to have you back.
Thank you, and good morning. Hurricane Beryl has made landfall near Matagorda, Texas. The Cat 1 storm bringing heavy rains and winds to the Texas coast this morning. The National Hurricane Center putting that storm's maximum sustained winds at 80 miles an hour. Skydance Media and Paramount Global have now agreed on a merger.
Whoa, one out.
Hold on.
I'm
waiting for my interview
Story's
on ABC to discuss this. Paramount Global and Skydance Media have now agreed on a merger. That announcement coming Sunday. Sherry Redstone is selling her family's controlling stake in Paramount. The move comes as they've been struggling with their television business.
Yeah, their story was going to be much more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, the third one would have been better.
They've agreed on a murder. That might be my favorite mispronunciation ever. I love it.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Hurricane Beryl making landfall in the Texas coast near Matagorda as a Category 1 hurricane. Fox's Britta Merwin is about an hour down the coast on Surfside Beach.
It's intense. It's almost like needles are being pushed into the back of your legs because these water droplets, the rain itself, is being pushed so hard against your body that it really does cut against the fabric that you're wearing.
Boeing has agreed to plead guilty to criminal fraud charge stemming from two deadly crashes of its 737 MAX jetliners.
Part of the deal, Boeing must pay an additional $243.6 million fine and invest $455 million in its safety and compliance programs. Plea deal does not give Boeing immunity for other incidents, including the one where a panel blew off a MAX jetliner during an Alaska Airlines flight in January.
Fox's Sue Guzman, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have 82 degrees. It is partly cloudy and looks like a beautiful morning right now. Hurricane Beryl has made landfall in Texas today.
This is just the beginning. A lot of folks hear landfall and think, whew, the worst is done. But really, landfall is just the beginning with these systems.
That is Carolyn Brown from KPRC in Houston, Texas. And as of the latest update, that storm had maximum sustained winds of 80 miles per hour. Congressman Matt Gaetz held a rally over the weekend focusing on gun rights. That was held at Gulf Coast Gun and Outdoors in Milton. There was a guest speaker there as well, Second Amendment advocate Kyle Rittenhouse.
I am fighting for the Second Amendment. I am putting pressure on different politicians that don't do the right thing. As you know, people who in politics, when they do the wrong thing, the grassroots likes to spring up and we'll come after you. And that's part of what I've been doing, fighting to keep our rights sacred.
And that audio from Channel 3 there, Rittenhouse, now the outreach director for the advocacy group Texas Gun Rights. And of course, Congressman Gaetz says he is a pro-gun congressman who is committed to helping local gun businesses. Well, an investigation continuing in Baldwin County. This is after the death last week of a 17-year-old swimmer. Officials say Avery Pickle was found in the water last Friday morning. He'd been separated from a group of friends in the water, never made it back to shore. The teen attended Alberta High School, was a football player there. The sheriff's office says they'll continue to investigate the circumstances surrounding that incident. And Alberta High School officials say they'll have additional counselors on hand for affected students today. Well, the number of abortions in Florida appears to be slowing down since the six-week abortion ban went into effect. The state's Agency for Healthcare Administration released a report at the beginning of the month showing how many abortions had been performed since January 1st. The latest report, dated July 1st, indicates that there were about 4,000 abortions since the previous report issued in June. That's about half the number of abortions reported the month before in May. All told, the state counted just over 36,000 abortions for the year. Senator Marco Rubio praising the Supreme Court's ruling that President Trump has immunity for some acts in his federal elections interference case. In an interview on CNN, Rubio argued that the high court clarified the law. He said Democrats were weaponizing the courts to target political opponents, including former President Trump. Divers in South Florida say they're keeping an eye out for an invasive species. Pulse coral has been found in the Caribbean off Cuba. Scientists at the University of Florida now say they're worried it could already be off of the Florida coast. The species can reproduce quickly and wipe out seagrass beds, mangroves, and native coral reefs. Anna Zengranes is a Miami-Dade County, Florida Sea Grant Extension agent. She said, there's also some economic concerns tied to the invasive coral. It is 5:34 right now. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a hot day today with temperatures warming up near 93 degrees. 40% chance of rain in the afternoon. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Staying hot and humid for that Tuesday with a high near 91 degrees. 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 80 in Pensacola. 80 in Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio, Pensacola.
Tom Savino with Your Money Now. A long-awaited merger in the entertainment industry appears set to finally become reality. Paramount Global has agreed to merge with Skydance Media, which counts CBS and MTV among its media empire. The deal opens a new chapter for Paramount, one of Hollywood's oldest studios, but one that has shed $17 billion in value in the last 5 years. Shares of Paramount are up 4% pre-market. It's setting up to be a huge week on Wall Street as the timing of the Fed's potential first interest rate cut comes into clearer view. That centers around Thursday's release of the June consumer inflation report. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will also provide his semiannual update to Congress this week. And major banks like JPMorgan Chase and Citigroup will report as second quarter earnings season kicks off. At the start of it all, futures are a little changed, though last week the S&P 500 continued its run with a fourth positive week in the last five. That's Your Money Now.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Dales Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dales Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dales Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers.
Going to sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
Oh.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing him in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Here on News Radio Pensacola, I'm Andrew Kay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and on Friday we had a chance to speak with the commanding officer of Naval Hospital Pensacola, continuing this series of trying to educate everybody about what goes on board our local military installations. And one of those is a standalone installation, the Naval Hospital Pensacola. The commanding officer is Captain Scott Kuhn. Captain Kuhn, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Inviting me.
Absolutely. First thing, let's start with this. You have no call sign.
I do not.
You're the first one to not have a call sign because you're not in.
You're not an aviator. I'm not a pilot.
There you go. So you're not in that community. So you're our first non-call sign guest for this whole series. Second thing is, and this is again my own learning about this, you are a member of the Medical Service Corps.
I am.
And is that a part of the Navy? Is that separate from the Navy? Are you in the Navy or not in the Navy?
So I am in the Navy. So Okay. The Navy actually has, within the staff corps, which is not the line officers, there are staff officers. So you'll end up with engineers. You end up with supply officers, JAG corps officers. And you have the medical department, which is made up of four corps: nurse corps, medical corps, medical service corps, and the dental corps.
Okay, so you are in the Navy. You have been for quite some time. Your wife is also in the Navy, right? She's also in the Medical Service Corps.
Yes, she is.
That's kind of cool, in the family, both doing that. So Naval Hospital Pensacola, let's just start with sort of bare bones basics. Naval Hospital Pensacola serves whom?
So Naval Hospital Pensacola serves a roughly 125,000 beneficiaries across five states, to include Indiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, New Orleans, and here in Florida.
Okay, 125,000 patients are considered your care because they're in the military and they get TRICARE.
So they're beneficiaries, and our beneficiaries are retirees,
okay,
and their dependents.
20 years retired, okay.
Yes, or
injured or whatever, but not veterans, only veterans is the VA. Okay,
yes.
Go on.
So retired beneficiaries, their dependents, active duty, and their dependents. And that's 125,000 people that fall within our catchment area.
And just so people kind of get the perspective, that the command that you have oversees that sprawling network of healthcare offices, clinics, and of course hospitals. Are there other hospitals besides Naval Hospital Pensacola?
So within our network, there is only Naval Hospital Pensacola.
Okay.
And interestingly, in 2017, we shut down our beds. So by name, we are a hospital, but we are actually an ambulatory outpatient clinic that does ambulatory surgeries at this time.
So people who are in the military or their spouses and family, or as you say, retirees, they come to you for healthcare. You're the primary care for them.
Yes.
And then if they need, for example, a surgery, what happens?
So if it's a surgery that will be, a lot of surgeries nowadays are outpatient surgeries. You come in, you do your surgery, you go, you recover for 8-9 hours, and then you head home.
Okay.
We do those surgeries for the majority of those. If you are going to need to be out in town, or you're very high risk, you have heart issues, you're way overweight, you have asthma, things that are a higher risk, we will probably have you do that surgery out in town because we just don't have the capabilities if things went wrong to take care of you.
And ER?
So right now we don't have an ER, but we are in collaboration and talks with the VA to maybe do a joint ER.
Okay. And the VA is right next door. I mean, literally next door.
Yes.
And this might help people to understand, because I know it was a long learning curve for me to get all of this. And again, having not been in the military, but what is the difference between what the VA does and what you do at the Naval Hospital?
So for us, our patients are slightly different than theirs. Our patients are going to be individuals who have either medically retired or been retired from active duty service,
okay,
or are currently on active duty, and the dependents of those individuals. The Veterans Administration, if you were on active duty and you were injured and you have a service-related injury, the Veterans Administration will potentially take care of you for that injury for the rest of your life if needed.
Okay.
The Veterans Administration also looks at us when we are retiring to determine what was service-related. What injuries do you have that the government has now bought and is going to take care of for the rest of your life? So the Veterans Administration, and it's more complicated, obviously, than what I'm saying it, but it really is if you've retired from the military or you're in the military, we're primarily going to take care of you. If you were injured and you're no longer in the military and you didn't retire, the VA will take care of you. Some people get both.
Yeah. And you guys have recently been partnering with them because since you're not operating, you're not using all of your capacity that you have for your what you have in the hospital because it's not really functioning as a hospital the way it used to. You're letting them use like your operating rooms for like their doctors come and perform in your ORs, right?
So,
or do I have that wrong?
You are partially correct.
Okay.
And I know I'm being very specific.
That's
here.
Fine.
What we are doing is we are actually giving them the space. They are a subtenant of us.
Okay.
And they own that space. So they're not borrowing my ORs, they're their ORs.
Oh, okay.
And we're doing the same thing for a 12-bed ward. We're in right now in the midst of going out and getting contracts and projects. And the hope is that the VA will have a 12-bed ward within the next 2 to 3 years. And we will collaborate with them to put some of our patients in there. That'll allow us to do a higher acuity, a higher level of surgeries as well. So over the next few years, us and the VA, the Naval Hospital Pensacola and the VA, will help to make it a hospital again.
Okay. And I'm gonna say this wrong, and then you're going to correct me on how it's wrong. But since it's, as you say, not really in what people would think of as a hospital anymore, I think of it as sort of like a medical complex that you would go to, like a doctor's office with a variety of doctors who then will send you elsewhere for specialty care that they don't provide or might send you to Sacred or West Florida or Baptist for, you know, whatever it is that they might have that you guys just don't perform on in the facility. Do I have it basically right?
Yes, you have it correct. We're going to be your primary care provider.
Okay.
We do have a few specialties, and I won't go into all of them.
Sure.
But, you know, we still have cardiology. We can't do cardiatric surgeries or things, but we have a cardiologist who can do the workups, a pulmonologist. We have ophthalmology, so some of those specialties. So we still have those. We have X-ray. We have an MRI, a CT scan.
The people who work for you are civilians, are Navy, are some Air Force, are both? You tell me.
So I have a combination of really three categories of individuals who work for me. We do have active duty service member in uniform.
Okay.
That could be Navy, Army, or Air Force. It's primarily Navy. Right now we have a couple of Air Force that come over and are assisting us, but they're not actually assigned to me. And then I have government service employees, the GS employees, and then we have contract employees.
Okay. And even though, again, just to kind of be clear about all this, even though it's Naval Hospital Pensacola, you don't only service naval personnel.
No, we will take care of, like, currently we have Army, Air Force, and Navy personnel who are here. Retirees, it doesn't matter if you retired from a service. Even Coast Guard, we take care of Coast Guard as well. There are a lot of foreign military here. I don't know that everybody realizes that. The air station has...
What, like Netzafa with the training?
Yes.
The folks that do training on board ANS Pensacola? Okay.
Yeah, and so we're contracted to... I guess we have agreements to take care of a lot of the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, and other foreign nationals as well.
And it didn't always used to be that the services all cooperated this way, am I right? Like the Defense Health Agency has been this kind of transitional thing to bring all that more in a coherent way. Like, why do we need to be separated? Do I have that right?
Yeah, I think all three services, and I'm going to leave the Marines out. They might get upset at that. And why I say all three services for me, the Marines do fall under the Department of the Navy.
Okay.
But it is the Navy Medicine, who takes care of the Marines.
Got it.
And so as I talk, I don't want to offend anybody, especially my retired Marines.
Right.
So there are three services, Navy, Army, and Air Force, that have their medical commands. All three of us have specific missions that are slightly different. Being on a ship is going to be different than being up in an airplane.
Sure.
It just is. So the services still have their missions, still have their platforms that they will use to go to war, but the facilities, the brick and mortar facilities, Congress decided that they wanted one organization to control all three services facilities where everybody does patient care. So there would be more standardization so that if I was transferred to Texas, the care I got in Texas, the policies, the way it happened would be the same as here in Pensacola.
The network of healthcare provision would be consistent throughout all the services.
Yes. So currently I have two bosses. I actually report directly to a one-star, my immediate superior in charge, who's at Naval Medical Forces Atlantic.
Okay.
And he is my Navy Admiral, my boss from the Navy side. On the DHA side, he just happens to be the same person,
Which
is fortunate for
convenient,
me.
Convenient, yeah.
Yeah, but he is, in that hat, he is Defense Health Network Atlantic.
Okay.
And so from the day-to-day operations of the hospital, I report to him through DHA to talk about what's happening in the hospital. From the Navy personnel deployments and what we are doing for mission readiness, I go up through the other chain.
Very good. Now, let's talk just a little bit, because the history of Naval Hospital Pensacola is kind of interesting. People might think, well, that's a fairly new building. So we've only had a Naval Hospital Pensacola for, 20 or 30 years. But the history of Naval Hospital Pensacola goes back more than a century, right?
Yes.
And, in fact, the buildings used to be, the buildings that were on board NAS Pensacola, this is now the sixth, am I right?
I believe you are correct. Sixth or seventh. Sixth, I'll believe it's sixth.
Yeah, and so buildings previously on board the base, this is the first time that the hospital was built outside the base perimeter, right?
It is.
And like some of the prior buildings, I think Naval Education Training Command, NETSI, the two-star admiral in residence here at NAS Pensacola, actually lives in what used to be, or that is housed in, the headquarters for NETSI is one of the former naval hospitals.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a fast, and some of them they say are haunted. Some of the older buildings they say are haunted. I won't ask you as a medical professional,
I will share with you that I have never gone to a command with a older building that everybody doesn't say is haunted. I've never had a spiritual experience within the hospital that I would say is a ghost or anything myself, but there's lots of people that
there's
people that have stories about the building we're in currently.
Oh, okay. All right. And it's relatively new, which is, I think, 2001 vintage is when the new building was.
1972.
Oh, the current one is 1972. Okay.
Yes.
The new facility was added in 2001. That's right.
So there's an annex. I apologize. I kind of.
No, it's okay.
The hospital itself was built in 1972, and then in 2001, we built the annex, which is the ambulatory care where the pharmacy is at.
Got it. And then just kind of the last thing is that I thought this was interesting from your online stuff, is that you deploy things like the Fleet Hospital, which will go service is a ship-based hospital system of some kind, or?
So we're actually in the midst of changing our platforms is what we call them now. So
okay.
The fleet hospitals, the FFRSs.
Because we all saw the medical ships that were operating during COVID, for example. And so, I didn't know if this was something like that or.
So what it is when we go deploy, we will take a hospital and it's called an expeditionary medical facility.
Okay.
And we will forward deploy that. So it will go, it could go and be on a ship. It could go and. Parts of it could be on a ship.
Okay.
It can take a huge, huge, depending on how it's broken out, how much you take with you. So they are roughly 160 people currently. They used to be closer to 350 people.
Okay.
So you can size them. It's changing.
I think we all know the history of MASH and Army Surgical Hospital. I think of this being the sort of the Navy alternative or variant on that.
It is the Navy variant.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else you want to let people know before we let you go? Just kind of, things that people might not understand or just, what makes Naval Hospital Pensacola distinct? I hadn't even been thinking about having the hospital on. I wasn't even thinking about that in the context of NAS Pensacola Whiting Field. And then I bumped into Marcus, your PAO, and he's like, definitely. I'm like, oh, yeah, we really should. So it's a very significant presence.
I really appreciate Marcus, and I'll give Marcus a shout-out just because he's here. I was supposed to give my daughter Bobby a shout-out.
All right, well done.
So there is one thing, and I want to make sure I say this right. One of the things that I think is very frustrating for our patients is access to care, being able to get onto the facility. But at the same time, they're not helping me. And what I mean by that is my no-show rate, where you call in and you get an appointment. And mind you, I'm just doctors alone. I'm not going to talk PAs and nurse practitioners.
Okay.
Doctors alone, I should have 12 doctors attached to me right now.
Okay.
I have 6. And the reason being, there's various reasons. Some of that is hard to recruit in the Navy. Some of it is just you can't find doctors in the civilian world even right now. But if I've only got 6 doctors and they can only do 100 patients a week, that's 600 patients. If you schedule an appointment and you don't come, I'm already having difficulty with access. So what I'm going to ask the listeners is if you schedule an appointment, please come, or please let us know you can't come so we can make that available to somebody else. Right now, our no-show rate's closer to 16%, you know, out of 100. That's 16 people.
That's a full doctor's worth that people are taking out of commission every week because they're not showing.
Exactly. And it's hard to say, hey, some of this is your fault as well.
Yeah.
And so I would just ask the listeners, if they are, you know, if they're beneficiaries to the hospital, if they schedule an appointment, please come.
Okay. No, that's a great note. And I can imagine if you're already down to 6 out of 12 and you lose one because of no-shows screwing up the scheduling, I can see why that would be difficult to accommodate. Captain Scott Kuhn, he is the commanding officer of Naval Hospital Pensacola. Captain, thank you for the time this morning. Thanks for doing what you do to take care of our service. All right, 5:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. And if you are a company, you have employees, you have to provide benefits for them, whether it's health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, whatever, payroll, you know, those are important things, obviously. And I'll just tell you, Torgerson Causey does this stuff extremely well. Now, if you've already got a company that you love and they're great at it, great. I mean, wonderful. Stick with what you know. But if you wonder whether there might be something better out there, or if you got to believe there might be something better out there for you, call them and get a no-obligation review of what you're doing. We did this about 7 years ago here at News Radio in Cat Country, and they have been fantastic. They gave us options we didn't have. They gave us information we didn't have. They always answer our questions in detail. My wife is a very detail-oriented person, and so she very much appreciates that, gives them her thumbs up, and she doesn't give that thumbs up very easily, especially to insurance-related people. And Torgerson Causey has been great. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy these past few years. How to know when to buy or sell? You will need an expert to help you. Listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News, to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discussing current real estate conditions. That's this morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. 3 Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy 2 of our products and get the 3rd free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Stop by their Pensacola showroom to see their products in action.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local,